chapter tonight is the function of mind. I have a feeling as I read this chapter that much had been said about it since the chapter was written. And I'm not going to limit us just to the chapter itself, because there are some additions that have been made to these thoughts, and also some revelation on it. I think, if you don't mind, I'd like to start from a place not in the chapter at all. This chapter is about the second degree, you might say, in which we develop the capacity in ourselves to turn the universe over to God. We're willing to stand back because we have learned something. We know that we can relax in consciousness and we can behold infinity forming itself on this outer plane. This is not an activity of our human minds. We learn in this second degree that the power of God is omnipresent, and rather than merely practice the presence of God and try to become aware of that presence, in this degree we put all of our belief in the presence of God into our actual lives, so that we are 24 hours a day applying that knowledge of God in such a way that we trust it, depend upon it, we're living by it. We're turning our lives over to spiritual law, and so that whatever should occur to us in the material world, we do not look for a material solution. We look for a spiritual realization, and this we know manifests in the outer as the solution of the material problem. Now, this is all second degree. The word mind, of which we are trying to understand its function, is a delicate word, because we don't know whether Joel is talking about the function of divine mind or the function of the human mind. And there is, as you read, a fluctuating from that mind which is the divine to that mind which is human. And it is difficult, unless you are very cautious and aware of the problem before you begin, to know what is meant even by that word. Now, each will take the word mind from his own background. And if you had never been in any metaphysical work, mind to you would be your mind. Mind to a metaphysician usually meant divine mind. But then we had mortal mind, which wasn't the individual human mind anymore, but the collective human mind. And so when we say we're talking about the function of the mind, we know there is only one mind, the divine mind, and yet we are functioning out of what we call a human mind. And in between the human mind and the divine mind is the universal human mind. And so we want a clarification. The human mind is the universal mind individualized. It has nothing to do with God. absolutely nothing. It sees good and evil. It reacts to good and evil. It tries to unbalance the evil and produce more good. And it's capable of good and evil. And so we know it is not divine. We know that it feeds off of the universal mortal mind, and this is the bread which feeds it 24 hours a day, so that individually, functioning in human minds, we are eating the bread of this world. And sort of secondhand, you might say, because it is already out there before it's fed into us. It is already an established world before it's fed into us. And so we are separated. The very nature of the human mind is separation. And so we come now to a point where we know it is our intention to be released from the human mind, from the collective human mind, and to function in the divine mind. And so we want to come to this place where divine mind is the mind which is governing our activity 24 hours a day. Without a secondary life of personality, of humanhood, of personal sense, of personal needs, in which we are striving and struggling to comprehend a mortal existence. Now, the thing I want to say tonight is rather difficult to say because it hasn't quite been said this way, and it may open us up to the issue of mind. You will remember that there has been much stress on the fact that you can stamp upon the sunlight without making an impression upon it. And the purpose of this was to show you that right here in this world where we stand, there is a dimension visible to the human eye which you do not have the power of in any way influencing. You cannot influence that sunlight. You can stamp upon it and leave no impression there. You can run a Mack truck over it and not hurt it one bit. And now I can see why the stress had to be laid there. Because there is another dimension in this world with which we think we're making contact, just as we make contact with sunlight. And yet we're not making contact with it at all. The contact is totally illusory. You have witnessed the presence of the Holy Ghost without realizing it. And you have called it a human form. The human mind, seeing the Holy Ghost, will see a human form and will not know it is witnessing the presence of the Holy Ghost. The human mind witnessed the presence of the Holy Ghost on earth many times, but could not see what was there. And this is to show us the meaning of the Word made flesh, the meaning of the Word made flesh stood among us, but we were unaware. We witnessed the presence of the Holy Ghost. Now, all exoteric Christianity is about Jesus, the Son of God. But esoteric Christianity is about the Christ appearing as Jesus. And the Christ appearing as Jesus is actually the Holy Ghost appearing as Jesus. God the Father, God the Christ, the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, the appearance of the Christ in form, Christ incarnate, is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And this has not been known, and until you know it, you cannot really understand the function of mind. And so I have to speak of this tonight, because it has to do with the function of mind. The Holy Ghost stood as an expression of the Christ realized, and that form by man is given the name Jesus. The Holy Ghost will be you when you have reached a Christ realization. Then you will walk this earth as the Holy Ghost. And the difference will be this. Your present form is a mortal mind form. Your Holy Ghost form is a Christ mind form. And they look alike. The body of Jesus looked no different than any other man on earth. But it was the Holy Ghost. It was the mind formed, but it was not the human mind formed. It was the Christ mind formed. And we are all destined to be the Christ mind formed and to appear in bodies which are truly the Holy Ghost and not the mental image of mortal mind. Now the word made flesh then means that Christ the Word appeared as the invisible Holy Ghost, which man sees and misinterprets as a human form. And so the Word made flesh dwelt among us. The light could not be recognized by the darkness. Now, just as the form of Jesus stood there, but was not a human form, neither was it the form of God. It was still our mental image of the Holy Ghost. The Christ itself is never visible. Now this appearance of the invisible Christ as an image in our midst, to which we give a form and our own material sense to make it appear as a physical form, this is the expression of the infinite locally manifesting. And it is exactly as that form manifested that health, safety, security, peace, and the other qualities that the world seeks will manifest among us. They will manifest as qualities coming from the infinite into visible expression, but they will really be the Holy Ghost interpreted by human sense into safety, security, peace, harmony, abundance, and so forth. With the human mind governing us, we do not have the capacity to entertain the Holy Ghost. We do not have the capacity to receive divine revelation. We do not have the capacity to let the fruit of Spirit express in us. And this absence of the Holy Ghost in our midst, which did appear as the form we call Jesus, and as the activities of that form, and as the miracles performed by that form, every time, for example, that you saw loaves and fishes multiplied in the Bible, you were seeing the Holy Ghost appearing as loaves and fishes. The Holy Ghost is the invisible manifestation of divine law into visible experience. And it is not controlled by a human mind. It is God-governed. Its source is God. Its activity is God. Its purpose is the fulfillment of divine law. And until each of us is Christed in a measure to receive the Holy Ghost, we do not live in such a way that the qualities of God that are omnipresent everywhere can express in us. Now, I'd like you to just close your eyes for a second and talk to your mind, your human mind. Tell it to think of a river. Just a great big river. A river to the left of you and to the right of you, till all you're seeing is a river. And tell it to make that river dark blue now, midnight blue. So all you see is midnight blue. And tell now your mind to make the tides turn and move the other way. Establish the fact that your mind can respond to your direction. And you must then ask yourself, who is this that is telling my mind what to do? Tell your mind to slow down to the ticking of a clock. And you'll see you have the capacity to direct that mind. Now you can label this director the consciousness of your being, speaking to your mind, directing it. And now that mind, which your consciousness can direct, has been directed all its life by forces unknown to us. That mind which can govern our body in such a way that the body is helpless, that mind which can tell the body when it's hot or cold, dead or alive, that mind we have to take dominion over. We find that our function on this plane is to take dominion over that mind, and that we are responsible for the direction of our lives. It isn't up to God. It's up to us to establish a consciousness that will take dominion over our mind. And now as we do this, we find the mind is willing. It even wants more guidance. And so we establish a higher form of dominion over the mind. We come to a higher consciousness. We'll just take the human mind and we'll call it the lower mind, and we'll rise up to a higher mind or a higher consciousness, and this is the consciousness that is going to direct the mind below. This higher consciousness. This higher consciousness completely turns away from the world of man. This higher consciousness has absolutely nothing to do with this world. It doesn't love it, it doesn't hate it or fear it. It's completely indifferent to it. And now we're up in this higher consciousness, and we are listening only to one. We're listening only to the consciousness of God. That's all we can hear. We're not concerned about the mind, the body, or the world. We are only interested in the direct word of God, not the bread of this world anymore, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And here's where we live. This is our new home in the second degree. We never leave this home. Our purpose is to return from the lower mind, which was the prodigal, to come back to the Father's house in this higher consciousness, and here we tabernacle. Here we rest in God. Here we trust in God. Here we totally turn ourselves over to the consciousness of God with absolute conviction that I and the Father are one. We have no response to anything in this world, in this higher consciousness. This world comes to find us, but it can find no habitation within us because we have risen. We have risen above the mind of this world. It cannot find us. And the mind below us, which it does find, is no longer listening to the world mind. It is listening to this higher consciousness in which we are living. We are not seeking safety. We are not seeking security. We are not seeking health. We are not seeking anything. We are abiding. We are resting. We are relaxing. We have no need or desire. We are living in the higher consciousness, which is fed only by the source. And this source, entering our higher consciousness, becomes the fertile nourishment which will appear as the Holy Ghost to our mind below, which will interpret that Holy Ghost into the forms that are needed for the Holy Ghost appearing to the mind through our soul. Our higher consciousness will bear in itself every need. Nothing will be lacking. The safety, the health, the economies, those requirements of the mind and body will flow through from our higher consciousness as invisible manna, and the lower mind will interpret them as the needs fulfilled. This is how we bring infinity into expression on the outer plane of mind and body. Now, in this second degree, we decide that we're not going to serve God part-time. We make it a full-time job, a 24-hour-a-day job. And probably it hasn't been said any better than Joel said it when he said, "You're honest 24 hours a day. You have a consciousness of honesty. You don't go around proclaiming, 'I am honest.' You don't go around proclaiming your higher consciousness. But it is you, just as honesty is you. And you live in the automatic awareness that whatever you do is going to be from the higher consciousness, just as whatever you do is going to be honest. You've graduated. And so you live in this higher consciousness just as you live in a normal state of honesty. And in this higher consciousness, you are introduced to the only truth that is truth. The human mind does not know truth. And Joel brings you up with a start in this chapter when he says to you, there is no truth about man. Now you could take that statement and live with it for 9 years as Paul did before coming forth to teach the Christ message. There is no truth about man. There is only truth about God. And so in this new consciousness, we are going to receive the truth about God, whereas in the mind we could only receive the truth about man. We are breaking out of the shell of mortality, and the truth we are receiving from Source becomes the truth which now filters into mind, imbuing it with truth. And then the mind imbued with truth becomes a law of harmony to the body. Before, the mind could not be imbued with truth because there was no place for it to get it. You had not established your higher consciousness to feed truth to the mind. Once you begin this little exercise of establishing dominion over mind, you then widen the gap. You begin to lose the need to function in that conscious human mind. The Christ mind begins to take over, and the Christ mind is the truth of God expressing every quality of God to the level of every need. And so now we're resting in the Christ mind, in the higher consciousness, and grace is running our universe. Whereas before, we lived at the mercy of what happened in the world. Now the things that happen in the world do not enter into our experience. They are functioning on the mind below. Overproduction, underproduction, undernourishment, overpopulation, racism, inequalities in economy and distribution, all of the factors that the world worries about are on the level of the human mind. Weather itself is a mind activity. It has nothing to do with God. Health is a mind activity. Safety, security, harmony, these are mind activities. They all live on the level of the world mind functioning through you, both good and bad. And you're above these activities, so much so that on the level of your new consciousness, you may discover that without realizing it, you've witnessed a change in the weather. Without realizing it, you've witnessed many changes in things that normally were by chance, and now you permit only the law of God to be the law that you recognize. There can be no adverse weather in your new consciousness because you are under spiritual law. There can be no destructive tempest. There can be no boat capsizing. There can be no highway accident. There can be no airplane falling from the sky. These happen in the mortal mind. In the new consciousness, the law of spirit is the law of perfection in all things. And the Holy Ghost appears visibly as the harmony, as the safety. We are finding that we can now begin to experience the presence of the Holy Ghost as the seemingly added things of this world. Now, we're coming at it from this direction for this reason. Too many of us are still anchored in the human mind and still under the belief that with that human mind they can raise themselves to a place where they are free of their problems. And this is a mirage. You are practicing that way something which was practiced more successfully by what Joel has referred to as the Black Brotherhoods. These were those who had studied in the wisdom schools, who had a knowledge of spiritual truth, but apparently not quite enough. And so they turned out in quite a large number, and knowing the power of mind, they began to use mental practices to glorify themselves. Now that's a little different than our human efforts, but at the same time, this is a boomerang. We can unwittingly become Black Brotherhoods. We can try to use the mind when all the time we're being told to rise above the mind, to let Christ ascend in you. And unless you are aware from the other side of how the Holy Ghost comes into human experience, you will never realize that your human mind is blotting out that glorious experience. The human mind knows nothing of these things. And so the human race has stopped at the level of the human mind. And even though It is the purpose of all religion to liberate man. Man is not liberated, and never will religion find a way to liberate man, because it first must be liberated from its own human mind. Now, when we speak of rebirth, rebirth doesn't mean just you and me. There must be a rebirth in science. There must be a rebirth in government. There must be a rebirth in religion. There must be a rebirth in every human activity which has been governed by a human mind. And the beauty of your work is this, that when you break the confines of the human mind and are able to rise and live and abide in your new consciousness, you are doing, as only one individual, what 500 churches have not been able to do. You are preparing a new world consciousness in which the next generation will automatically be born. And you cannot do this with your human mind. You can only do this with your Christ consciousness. When you become conscious of the invisible Christ, then you are preparing a new consciousness for new generations to come. And it doesn't take 5 million of us to do that. And so this is where the real work is done. This is where you come beyond trying to make a better life for yourself. Instead, you are making a better life for the world. And because the world is yourself, we find that we are now in a very unusual place in our work. As certain things happen in your life, which you attribute to the presence of Spirit, this is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And as Christ, invisible, becomes the realized substance of each individual, then you see the entire universe will be under spiritual law. And the Holy Ghost will appear omnipresently as all needs fulfilled. The word Holy Ghost is used because it never is a material substance that you touch. For example, if you had been among those eating loaves and fishes produced by the Christ consciousness of Jesus, you would never have known that those loaves and fishes were different than ordinary loaves and fishes. And yet they were the Holy Ghost appearing as. You would never know if another person that you're talking to were the Holy Ghost appearing as form or not. Because there's no way you can tell. And only Jesus, who was, could come back as a form, because the Holy Ghost could not be crucified. Now you remember he said, Pilate, you would have no power over me unless it were given to you from above. And that's the point. Above is from Christ awareness. And Christ awareness comes from oneness with Source. And so when you have in your higher consciousness released the infinite omniscient mind into activity, and the Holy Ghost is functioning in all your activities, there is no earthly power to intervene, for the Holy Ghost is omnipotent. There is no earthly power that can in any way serve as a barrier or counterforce against your consciousness releasing the Holy Ghost into activity. It goes before you. It appears as every need. Interrupt this class, but I think maybe we're blocking somebody's driveway. Somebody blocking that parking lot? That may be those horns. If so, we'll wait for you, whoever it is. Second degree, there is a new level of confidence. A level of confidence so deeply rooted in truth that there is in you an assurance that truth is omnipresent. But it is no longer truth of words. It is a different kind of truth. You have a new awareness of what truth is. Truth to you now is the perfect functioning of God in your life in every way. Truth to you now is something of an infinite nature. And you know that you do not live in a material structure. You are living in God, and therefore you are living in truth, and you are living in the omnipotence of truth, and you are perfectly willing in this new awareness to stand in the midst of any form of oppression, any form of lack, any form of limitation, with the knowledge that it cannot be real and cannot remain there. For truth is the invisible substance in which you walk, and you know it will function through your enlightened consciousness, appearing visibly as the termination of the lack, of the limitation, of the oppression. No matter how critical this may be, lack of oxygen, lack of food, you know that truth can appear as any substance needed on the outer plane. Now, this is the level of consciousness that we should be feeling in ourselves now, that we are ready to abandon human methods, human ways and means of bettering ourselves, and place our total trust in the omnipresent truth which moves through our higher consciousness. And you will do that to the degree that you have abandoned the lower mind and have risen up and can abide in a consciousness which is attuning itself only to the invisible activity of God. That's leaving mortal mind behind. It's bypassing the collective mortal mind, and it is opening you to a new kind of truth, a truth that is invincible, a truth that is the Word of God feeding and nourishing and enriching everything that you do in the outer plane. And all this is prerequisite to attaining the fullness of your Christ stature. Now, we are witnessing that this can be done by any individual who has reached an inner awareness that the human life we all live is not the end or purpose of our present expression. When an individual reaches this knowledge that there is more to him here now than a human life, and he is prepared to realize this spiritual self, then just as you would change from one job to another because you recognize the other job was of a more important nature, so you would change from one consciousness to another and consciously remain in the new consciousness in spite of any appearance that would try to draw you back to the old. And this is the meaning of Lot's wife, you know, not turning back. The turning back like Lot's wife is what keeps us anchored as a pillar of salt. But the moving up and ahead is a journey to a far country, and a difficult one, unless you feel the truth and the good of that journey, you will not make that journey. Unless you know and have to some extent witnessed the incredible power of grace appearing in your life, and then learn that infinite grace is the law, you may never find the courage or vision to really cut away the nets of material mental thought. Now, at the present moment, the human race is a mental substance appearing as a physical substance. But through the leavening of Christ consciousness, the mental material substance will be superseded by the spiritual substance which has ever been there. And you will witness the end of the catastrophes of war and epidemics and diseases and lacks and limitations in each individual who is able to rise to the higher consciousness and turn their life over to the invisible Christ. Then they will witness infinity expressing where they stand. Now the function then of the mind is to let go and not to be a creative force at all, but to be a channel through which consciousness pours its blessings from above through that mind, which becomes an avenue of awareness, and then the body will show forth the activities of the higher consciousness. You will go further than that, and when you do, you will try to remove all influence that the mind and body has upon you. Your eating habits will change. Your drinking habits, your smoking habits, your living habits, your desires, your relationships, everything will subtly change without any desire to do so on your part. And it will be because your mind and body are going through a change, and their requirements change with that change. You will find that your body is becoming more spiritual. Your mind is becoming more spiritual, and the same needs no longer fill the bill. Your hunger now is not for things of this world. And less do you hunger for things of this world. A new kind of hunger takes its place. You are hungry to find the full activity of your own soul. And anything that obtrudes, you brusquely turn away from, so much so that your complete pinpointed activity is to live in the highest spiritual consciousness possible and to witness the prolific infinitude of God expressing in all its glory. Now we are graduating from the human mind. It has held sway long enough, and we are being transformed into the realization that in me is a greater capacity than I had, say, a year or two ago, or even a month ago. There is in me a capacity to commune with an invisible force, but not a force that I can use, not a force that I can invoke for some purpose that is personal to me. But there is an infinite force capable of infinite varieties of thought, and this can be my brain, my mind, my consciousness, my body, my life, my experience. I can witness in myself the slow transmutation of physical form into spiritual form, of limited human thought into unlimited divine thought, of limited human expression into unlimited, undreamed of divine expression. And so, as this becomes a driving force within you, it is no difficulty to say, I will serve God instead of mammon. Instead of being wired to this world, I'll be wired to my Father's house. Now, this is the meaning, then, of dominion. It's making your conscious change from the syndrome of world thought and human thought appearing as human expression, and consciously taking your human mind out of the rat pack, out of the false, out of the illusory, out of all those expressions which appear but we discover to be only temporary. And now we're learning the truth about laying up our treasures in heaven. That I am to be the living expression of Christ, Christ incarnate. But the separation from this has been world thought, which I break through as I take dominion over my own mind. Literally, do something about it. And take that mind as a little child and train it. Train it in every way you would train a little child until it is completely resting in the consciousness that you establish, and that mind will think of doing nothing until your consciousness says, run, run, sit, sit. Go, go. Your mind begins then to say yea and nay only to your consciousness, not to this world. It is completely dependent upon your consciousness. And to the world, it turns a complete deaf ear. Whereas it had been deaf to the Christ, you now have a mind that becomes deaf to the world, blind to the world, insensitive to the world. The mind feeds only on every word from the mouth of God. And then you're in truth. Now, just so you know, that there are things in this book that must be part of your everyday experience. Here are several of them. Entertaining truth in consciousness is not for the purpose of being able to buy expensive automobiles, palatial yachts, or magnificent homes, not for the purpose of reducing a fever or getting rid of a disease. The purpose of entertaining truth in consciousness is to spiritualize mind and body, to bring to our awareness the light of truth so that our whole being may be transformed from a materialistic sense to a spiritual sense, and by the truth entertained in our consciousness, by this renewing of our mind, we are transformed from the man of earth into that man who has his being in Christ. Now, this is not enough.
But the truth must be the truth about God. There is no truth about man. There is no truth about supply. There is no truth about health. There is no truth about safety. The only truth there is the truth about God.